Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, everyone, we're here 2 days before the biggest game of the season, the second leg of the Champions League semifinal, often the most interesting game. The semifinals often the most tactically interesting tie of the whole competition. Quick prior prediction before we get started, Darnish. What your gun to your head, what is the scoreline tomorrow? Who's going through?
I don't know. What's the burn about? I'll say extra time. I think it's going extra time. I don't know after that. I think it's going extra time.
Yeah, I'm actually going to cheat and go with the same sort of prediction. I'm saying 1-1 penalties. I don't know who's winning, but I actually think
that's not fun.
No, I'm just
penalties. Okay, penalties.
Yeah, penalties. No, it's not fun. I can't make a prediction either. All right, everyone, here we go. We're going to talk about the tactics on this episode of You know, I was expecting a thriller, but that was a really good game, even compared to what we expected, I think, last week.
It was
like just quality back and forth.
It was.
What did you think of that first leg? We talked about what we expected. What did you see out there? Let's just talk about it.
A lot to unpack from that game. I think the biggest thing that sticks out to me and the biggest thing that I'm going to talk about mainly in this first leg, was just the amount of space that Bayern Munich found and just the amount of space that Thomas Tuchel found. Because I didn't expect that. I think that against Man City, what Real Madrid did was, because it was Man City, they out of possession, they were like, make sure you compact the center. Make sure you mark Foden in the half spaces. Make sure you watch De Bruyne moving around. And I personally think that they just didn't anticipate Bayern Munich to find the amount of space that they did. I know that there's a degree of it's Real Madrid and we've seen this movie before, but that doesn't mean that like you have to watch the same movie and go through the same anxiousness that you did watching it. There was a moment, I think, in the third minute or the fourth minute when Manuel Neuer had the ball and there was the three at the back. It was Goretzka in midfield and he just moved out to like the right, just a little bit to the right, and he was free in space and the pass easily went to him. Then from there, he change with, I think, Mazraoui, Kane, and Kane. Like, within the first 3 or 4 minutes, we saw that Bayern Munich were getting a good amount of space. So, and I think as the game went on, I was just more surprised at how bringing the ball out from defense into midfield, into attack, and creating chances and finding space within like the first. I think they started off really well. They didn't score. And then Tuchel at halftime, obviously he switched the wingers, made some changes. And what it was to me, mainly the problem that Real Madrid had and faced was Jamal Musiala and Thomas Muller in the half spaces. So where Kroos should be, where Kroos was marking Musiala and Muller, the problem he found was he kept getting overloaded with both of them. So Musiala would drop deep, Kroos had to come to Musiala, then Muller would go inside, or it would be the other way around. So, and because Real Madrid weren't really marking Goretzka in the middle of the pitch, and I think it was it Goretzka and Pavlovic, if I'm not mistaken.
Lamer.
Sorry, Konrad Lehmer. I knew I'd get that one wrong. So it was, yeah, there wasn't really any pressure on Goretzka and Konrad Lehmer. So whenever they got it, they could turn and then they could either play in behind or they could find Musiala and find Muller, and they were creating these movements and creating the space in the left-hand space. And sometimes Toni Kroos didn't really know which one to go to. So I was just shocked at the amount of space and the chances that they found and created. The first goal comes from literally the ball getting to Konrad Lehmer, him turning around and switching it to Sané. And it's mainly because there wasn't enough priority for me, from the perspective of me watching the first leg against Man City and watching the second leg against Man City. There wasn't enough for me pressure in midfield on the ball from Real Madrid perspective. Maybe it's because they underestimated them, but Bayern had quite a few chances and created quite a few. But again, if you don't put them away, it's Real Madrid. It is Real Madrid. We can shrug our shoulders and say it's Real Madrid and say, yeah, but you don't explain that very well. But it is. They will take their chances and they will be extremely clinical, and they will punish you if you don't score enough or create enough. I felt like Bayern created enough to score more than two, but they didn't. And then I think in the first half as well, after the sort of original Bayern blitz and then Real Madrid scoring, Toni Kroos started to get more on the ball and started passing it more, sort of giving you, sort of taking the sting out of the game, but also just giving Real Madrid a foot on the ball. I think also in the second half, maybe I'm mistaken here, but especially in the beginning of the second half, your pressing had something to do with it. Did you feel that?
So it's interesting. I'm not sure. I think how much we did. I was just gonna say, I'm not sure how much. It's hard for me to get a grasp on how much what we had to do with it, which is where I'm worried going into the second leg. Because early on, Tuchel commented after the game. He said basically that the first 15 minutes of the first half, Bayern did what the game plan was that they set out to achieve. And for some reason, according to his quote, he said they stopped. They just chose to stop. And that's not what I fully saw. I saw a Bayern that they got that Sané chance early on that Lunin had to save within 2 minutes. If you go look both at expected goals or just go watch, the rest of their chances, they were a lot of turnovers, a lot of progression through Madrid's midfield. But when they got to the box, I felt they were a little narrow because you had Musiala and Sané on the right and left. You had nobody really overlapping ahead of them. You had Kane and Muller in the middle, but it was a very narrow front four. So when Real Madrid defended, they didn't have to defend beyond the width of the box. And so early on, after the Sané chance, not having to defend more than the width of the box.
I felt like they had space throughout the game, though. I have to say, I was staggered at the amount of space that they had. Like I said, Muller would float around and it either like slightly deeper would attract too many, or then that would attract sort of Nacho's attention. So I'm not, by the way, I'm not surprised at all that he took Nacho off in the second half, because all that kept happening was the two would interchange. So sometimes it would be Muller would peel away to receive, and then Muller would, and then sort of Musiala would push up on Nacho or vice versa. And then it sort of dragged Cruz out to whoever was going. So it dragged Cruz out to either Musiala or Muller coming deep. And then that meant the other player would receive. So then Nacho would have to come out. And then all of a sudden there's a player in behind where basically Nacho should be, but he's not there anymore. So there was a gap in defense. I think that they attacked a lot better than what I thought was going to happen. And I think it's because Real Madrid underestimated the amount of pressure that they had to put on Goretzka and Lima. And obviously you're going to do that because, number one, Man City is a much more of a stronger outfit right now than Bayern Munich. And number two, they probably have in possession in terms of passing the ball around. They have Rodri and De Bruyne and they have Foden. And I think that there just wasn't enough pressure applied to Lima and Goretzka. There was also, within like the first 30 minutes, there was a sequence where Lima sort of got the ball. I think, I'm just checking here, let me check. 14th minute. Lima got the ball, ran through the midfield, played it over the top. I think it was Muller who couldn't control it and trap it and then shoot. But I was like, they're getting off pretty lightly here. So then what happened on top of that was Guerrero kept pushing up into Bayern's attack. So that basically created a problem where it exposed Madrid 4v4. So whenever like Muller started to drop deep into the in the second half, it was Muller dropping into midfield. Guerrero would push up. So it was a 4v4 from Madrid's defense and Bayern's attack. So it was Muller that started to grab the ball from midfield and then push up. You see, for the second goal, it was he goes past Cruz. Cruz sort of engages, can't get there. Muller then has to. Muller runs onto the defense and then Bayern are in. But, you know, like I said, the end conclusion and the bottom line is I think Tuchel and Bayern would be kicking themselves because they found a lot of space. They created a lot of chances. They didn't convert. When you don't do that against Real Madrid, you'll get punished because they have players who, again, I think I said this last week, they're probably the only team in the world that will have two, three players up front and create an attack out of seemingly nothing, because Vinicius can run 40 yards and dribble past three players. Rodrigo can run in the other direction and do the same. Bellingham can drop deep. So I think that you might have gotten away with it a little bit.
Yeah, it's. I definitely feel like we got away with it. I'm just trying to figure out why Bayern really stopped trying to play through our press or whatever we're doing defensively the last 30 minutes of the first half. And I still think, going back, it's a combo of them just getting predictably narrow, because Guerrero wasn't on the pitch in the first half. It was Goretzka in midfield. And so there was no overlap coming left.
Absolutely. And
on top of that, you had Sané on the left, who's like coming in on from his stronger foot on the left. He's not cutting in. Musiala on the right, same thing. He's not like cutting in narrowly. He might drift in, but it's not like the same angle. And so it felt like Real got really, really comfortable for me, just knowing like, no matter what we do in that last line, as long as we drop in narrow, there's no Davies overlapping. Mazraoui's not making the overlapping run to the touchline. Then on the other side, even Kimmich, he's not necessarily making that overlapping run all the way to the touchline. And I think cutbacks are a way you can hurt Real Madrid. So knowing that the cutback wasn't coming, we got a little complacent. And going into the second half, I'm going to be honest, I was looking at the personnel without Davies, like favored by the coach, without Kingsley Coman, I was honestly wondering, where does your width come from? Where are you going to bring the width, Tuchel? And immediately we saw for the Sané goal, I believe it was Kimmich overlapping. Kimmich or Laimer was overlapping very aggressively, and that briefly distracted Mendy. And it was just a great finish too. You know, that wasn't even a brilliant chance as much as it was a small amount of space and time afforded to Sané in that zone. And he made the most of it as a big player, I would say. You know, for everything they wasted, they did get a very Real Madrid moment out of Leroy Sané, so to speak. And that was a brilliant finish at the near post. On the other side, I just thought it was interesting
That first goal comes from what I was talking about earlier, where Lima got where your attack pushed up. I don't know if it's instructions, maybe it was your attack pushed up the press. Dyer or Kim gets the ball through to I think it was Lima. He evades a tackle, turns and switches it to Sane, and then it's 4v4. So, like, again, that I think that occurred because there wasn't enough pressure in the middle. And then in the second half, obviously, he made the switch of he brought Goretzka off, he brought Guerrero on, and then he dropped Muller a little bit deeper, and that was basically the second goal. I don't know what you think of that.
Second goal, yeah, definitely. I thought the numerical thing to get them in that position is there. And then what really stood out to me is when we played like a full tie against Man City, whenever Grealish picked up the ball in that zone, I know it was Carvajal there, not Vasquez, but when Grealish picked up the ball in that zone, it was take a touch to attract and then give it up. It was never like Musiala where it's like take a touch to just dribble past three guys and go for goal. And Musiala's intent there was so difficult. I'd almost forgotten how difficult Musiala is to play against. I didn't realize like the extent to which, you know, he doesn't need a giant quantity. Like, he doesn't need a huge advantage in order to make the most of a small situation. And I think that we also saw that there, because fundamentally, that's a 1v1 situation that I think you can still control. 4v4, 3v3, I don't mind. I think you can still control those situations if you're solid in the tackle. But I think there what we saw was that if you give Musiala a slight advantage going at the defender, it's very difficult. Because Vasquez has been phenomenal all season. But those few minutes, it felt like he might just lose us the tie. Like, he might not be able to handle it.
Mm.
Yeah, what were your thoughts? What were you going to say there about
I think you touched upon a good point, but Musiala had one of the best performances I've seen him have in I think a while, but it was complimented again by Thomas Muller. I spent most of this rewatch when I rewatched it going, how the hell is Thomas Muller playing this well and finding this much space the way he is? He complimented Musiala well because, like I said, he kept dropping deep in the second half, but he kept attracting Cruz to him. I touched upon it a little bit, but I was completely surprised that Nacho came off as early as he did because he was just getting dragged everywhere on the right-hand side by Musiala or on Muller. I think he came off 65th minute. Let me quickly. Yeah. Yeah, it was 65th minute he came off. It was quite early. Camavinga came on then, and then Tchouameni came back in the centre-back. And then you could visibly see Nacho was ticked off on the bench, but I wasn't surprised at all. I thought he was being taken for a ride. I thought Brahim Diaz was quite good when he came on. I thought Modric was quite good when he came on.
Sorry. I was just going to say, it's funny. Nacho has announced that he's going to the MLS, I think. And he's going to the MLS ever after that. That really sealed his decision to leave. it's just funny, that moment. But I do find it very interesting that you said he deserved to come off because a lot of people thought maybe he shouldn't go off. Real Madrid fans were saying because he played in the tackle.
I absolutely thought that he should have come off. I'm not sure if what was going on in the first and second half was his fault. He just wasn't having a good time at all in terms of handling Muller and Cruz. Muller and Musiala on that side. But the changes I felt did swing back a little bit of momentum, especially when Tchouameni went back into centre back. In terms of like what the result and the performance is the most important thing, I think, for Real Madrid, where people, like, this has happened far too many times now for people to just say, yeah, but they don't look good. I think that Ancelotti would be ticked off at the amount of space and the chances that Bayern Munich created, but he'd be happy at the fact that it's still 2-2 and you leave the Allianz Arena where I think it probably could have been worse. Go back to the Bernabeu and it looks good that Real Madrid would take it. I will say two things. Tuchel went to that stadium, I think, 3 years ago for Chelsea, and you probably had the most difficult time that you did in that whole run. You won the Champions League and with Benzema, and I think it was 3-0 at one point in the second half. He coached an excellent game. And he is a very good manager setting his team up to stop teams playing. I don't know if this Bayern Munich team is going to be the same, because there's certain parts that aren't as in sync. I don't like the central midfield that much. I feel like there's a mistake in Kim. I don't know if he'll play in the second leg, but he is very good at stopping opposition playing, which is what they will try to do. And then on the counter-attack, I want to have a quick, because we glossed it over, quick word for Vinicius for the first goal, because you could see, and I think this was an instruction. I personally think this was an instruction. Tuchel said at the end of the game, he said, you know, Kim, that was bad. He made two mistakes. You should know when to go aggressive and when to push back. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it wasn't an instruction and Tuchel, you know, I'm not in the Bayern Munich dressing room. I can't tell if Thomas Tuchel told Kim Min-jae to push up high. But there was two or three instances in the first half where Kim Min-jae would push up. Whenever Vinicius would drop, Kim would go with him. He would normally tackle and steal the ball. The ball would turn over. Hey, presto, Bayern Munich and Kim looked very good. The time where they scored, Vinicius came back in, pulled him back out, and then made a run in behind, and Cruz got the pass. It's a good pass, but I think the run makes everything, because he pulls him in and then out. Like, he's had the nous to go, okay, two, three times now he's come deep. I'm going to drag him this way and then go back, because he thinks that he's coming to my feet, but actually I'm going to have it in behind. So let's see what happens in the second leg.
Yeah, definitely. And Carlo has emphasized defensively that he's just most concerned about what went wrong defensively as well. Because I think for Real, we just need to make sure we control the game defensively, because offensively we can always get a moment, but we're very liable to just having stretches of games where we let go of the ball completely against big teams and give up multiple goals, lose all control. Happened the first half against Barcelona this season, for example. In the very first Clasico, we were completely dominated, and until Jude turned it around, it wasn't looking good. And we want to avoid those stretches where we look toothless. One thing is Jude, he had an intestinal virus actually this last week, which is why he looks so off the mark, because he was just doing cardio out there. If you remember, like, he was just running around playing defense. He wasn't really contributing offensively the way he normally does, in my opinion.
I've got no problem with the way Bellingham played.
At least I've watched him almost every game, and usually I'm used to like the A+ defense, very high level of midfield involvement combined with some creative end product. And when any of those is not near the top of the line, I feel something's off. But anyways, he was actually sick. Like, it came out because I thought Brahim, like, I thought it was a big difference. And we've actually seen Jude sick before the season, or a little off the pace, and against Man City we saw it a little bit, and like not from minute one, but around minute 60-70, and it's easy to make the choice to keep going with him because he's such a big name, because he scored so many big game goals at the end of games. And I thought bringing Brahim on was really key to getting something out of the game in Munich. So getting something out of the game in Munich, like, if we kept Jude on and he's that knackered, we bring Brahim on for Rodrigo, we don't get that second goal. So I thought it was really good by Carlo to bring Brahim on for Jude, leave Rodrigo on that game. And the second leg, I think Jude's fitness will dictate how different he looks. Because if Jude's not 100%, it does make it so that we're basically a less threatening team in all the same dynamics, if that makes sense. Like, all the same situations. Second phase, Jude receives the ball. When he's 100%, he has that extra bit of flair, the extra bit of progression from second to final third, extra bit of conversion of final third opportunities to actual clear-cut chances. And I just thought we weren't getting that in the first leg, because it's really in transition in these big games. A lot of the situations where we give up the ball and go up at the other end, we can strike deadly with Jude at 100%. If he's not, and he plays more as a role player, Rodrigo's good, but it's not a trident anymore to the same degree. It's when all three of them are triple threats are that we're at our most scariest. So fitness is a big one for us, is just what I wanted to say.
Absolutely. You make a good point. I've got no problem with the way Bellingham played. Big players can have off nights. Big players can have off performances. But I also think the Bernabeu might be a little bit different because you will probably have more of the ball. You will probably be attacking more. Because I did feel in Munich and against the boisterous crowd is a lot more different. So I will anticipate you having more of the ball. I'm more so just intrigued and interested to see what Bayern Munich do without it, to see what they do in terms of stopping you and what they do in terms of counter-attacking opportunities. Because I feel like the last few games that I've seen at the Bernabeu, you have conceded, but it doesn't matter because then you just score again. So like against Man City, you scored twice, conceded twice. Barcelona, you conceded, I think it was twice. It was 3-2, right? Conceded twice,
yeah, 3-2.
Scored thrice.
Yeah, yeah. And it was 3-3 against Man City.
The trick may be that... Yeah. Yeah, sorry, third. Sorry, yeah. You scored thrice and you conceded three times. Sorry, getting the games messed up. But I will anticipate that you'd probably be better in attack this time. It's just whether you are good enough to stop probably one of the best managers out of possession in the world, to see how stubbornly he reacts. And then if he plays counter-attacking football, which I think he will in this case.
Yeah, I'm 100%. I'm very scared if they run the same attack and same defensive setup what we do. I wonder if having Modric available off the bench is really big. Both Modric and Camavinga, they could be really helpful. Their mobility against Müller, especially if they're bothering Kroos with their positioning a lot. I could see it being a game where we have Kroos on for the first hour, and you know, we kind of put up with that back and forth game, and we allow for it, and then we send on more physical players and try and finish the game in the last 20, 30 minutes. I think it's tricky because I expect both teams to be able to deliver that blow of scoring a goal. I know Tuchel will set up more defensively, but I think what I find so fascinating about him, even at Chelsea, is that in those defensive setups, there's still some offense somewhere. And like, it's not defense without offense. It's not just defense without any counterattacking long ball available. So I'm afraid of that, because in that case, both teams are going to be able to score. And that means a lot of fluctuations in game state. And that's why at the start of the pod, I made the very conservative prediction of penalties, because I think extra time is very possible. I think a draw after 90 minutes is very, very likely. I wouldn't even say possible as much as likely. And it's a bit like the City second leg, where I feel like the team going away just has a few things up its sleeve that the home team's not fully capable of handling. And therefore, it's hard for me to call the home team as big a favorite as I normally would.
Yeah, I mean, we've had quite a few penalties this Champions League campaign. Was it? I think Inter, we had penalties. I think Real Madrid, Man City, we've had penalties as well. I see one of them going to penalties. I can see this one going to penalties. Can probably just about see PSG overturning Borussia Dortmund, but I'm coming around more and more to your theory of penalties. But I don't know what it is about the Bernabeu and Real Madrid. It feels like something always chaotic happens. Whether it's like extra time and it's Real Madrid need to fight back, or I think against Chelsea, you were 3-0 down and then you fought back. So I just want to see. I can maybe see Bayern Munich nick a goal or two, but back. I think that they didn't take their chances enough, and they'll still be ruining it at the Bernabeu. I don't think 2-2 is enough. And I feel like you'll go through.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we'll see. I'm just, I think Tuchel, like, seeing what he did with Chelsea is what scares me, because it scares me because we beat them away and he did that to us, and it was a worse team. They weren't as good as Bayern. Like, now he has Harry Kane, Musiala. He has, you know, Sané didn't score for 25 games, but we saw what he really is capable of in the first leg. which I thought was crazy that he hadn't scored since October, and then he did that to us. But they did that to Ferland Mendy, no less. But the talent is just so high. And, you know, I think a lot of people have underestimated Bayern this whole campaign. Like, against Arsenal, they were underestimated. I think they're being underestimated against us, which isn't to say they have enough. But Tuchel has not had, like, he hasn't had very deep stacked teams to go to war with over the years necessarily. PSG were very good, but they were very top heavy. Chelsea, solid. I guess they had the solid depth, not as much very top end talent. Like, yes, they had N'Golo Kante, but no Eden Hazard up front. And then you go back before that, and we're talking about like Dortmund, who were never that stacked in the first place. So this team is, it's a good team. Like, it's Bayern are, there are no pushovers. And I think Joshua Kimmich sounded really confident saying we showed we could play. I think with Bayern, there's just a fear within them that away against a team like Real Madrid, there could be a 30-40 minute stretch when we just overwhelm them. So I agree with you. It'll be fascinating. I just think there are a few teams better equipped to weather the psychological difficulty of playing Real Madrid. It's just something about Tuchel. So we'll see. What do you think? He has anything new coming other than getting, he got Guerrero overlapping Musiala, and he had Sané starting on the right. Do you think he runs that back the second leg? Do you think he changes anything offensively, or you think he can just put the same thing out and it'll test us again?
I think what I'm intrigued looking forward to, and I will always say this, is people might be bored of me saying it, but what Madrid are going to do with the ball? Are you going to tie, press high, taking him? And I don't think a central pivot back, but I wonder what you're going to do without the ball. Whether you press, because it has to be Bayern can bypass you, or if you hold the middle and you narrow the middle, I think what you should do personally, because I don't think Madrid to do without the ball, and how often or how much Bayern will have it, because I feel like at the Bernabeu you'll get more possession as well. So I want to see if it Real Madrid power in the middle and in opportunities and how much they'll have the ball because they are away. Because I feel like Real Madrid will blow you away, but they're not gonna blow you away by
Well, everyone, unfortunately, our guest had some technical difficulties, so we're going to have to go near the end here, so I'm going to provide my closing thoughts. It's interesting to see how much Real Madrid press up or sit in a block. It's always fascinating to see, are they more concerned about the opposition to the point where they sit them off, or are they confident and aggressive enough to go for it? I think we'll see a stretch in the first half where the team is confident enough to go for it, but they're going to do so cautiously. Here, Darnish is back. So I think they're going to go for it in the first leg. And oh, if Tuchel ruled Guerrero out, let me look that up actually. Guerrero, Bayern news. So he has been ruled out. So Rafael Guerrero has now been ruled out of the second leg with an ankle injury. And so that obviously complicates Bayern's offense. Without that, maybe you're a little less afraid of their width, or maybe you respect their width and you set up in more of a mid block. I think the answer is that they're going to respect Bayern. So we're going to get about 40 minutes in the first half where we press. We don't, maybe not the full first half, but at least 60, 70% of it, we're going to press a little bit, try and get our offense off. It's also possible that we set up a little more mid blocky. And we allow the game to play out and hope a quick Vinny winner, Bellingham moment of magic gets it for us. And then on the other end, look to contain them. I don't expect Tuchel, Carlo to allow it to get too end-to-end. A little bit like the City second leg, but we're at home, except it's the second leg. So First legs are where you kind of throw more caution to the wind. You send your players up. You allow things to play out. And, you know, if you're down 2-1 late, you can go for the winner like we did with Rodrigo. Second legs are always for a little more caution. You don't have as much time to come back in a tie. You don't have an entire game waiting. It's past halftime now. And so things can tend to be a little more cagey. It's just rare to go into a tie expecting it to be so 50-50. And for Bayern, now with Guerrero out, how do they recreate the danger they caused against us? Because Guerrero overlapping was a big part of it. He can cross when he gets up on the left wing. Mazraoui's right-footed. He's not as scary on the overlap coming from left back. And so do they bring on Alphonso Davies, who hasn't been the best defensively, which is shocking that he's playing behind Mazraoui. I'm curious to see what his solution is, actually, because I know I'm in the minority on this, but for all the space they found in the first half, they really did not create as much outside that one Sané chance. Like, sure, they scuffed at other chances. Yes, they got into dangerous situations, but none of them tested Lunin to the degree that Sané chance did. And so how do you make the functional again? And how do you scare Real Madrid? Because everyone knows they don't have width. Like, no Coman, no Davies, no Guerrero. That leaves them really, really narrow. And there's only so much you can do. If it's there's only so much you can do if the other team knows they don't have to defend 5-6 lines horizontally. If you only have to defend four horizontal lines, you can always defend just in the box. The reason Man City are so dangerous are because they know exactly how to mathematically position their players. So they have, even if they have only five players on the last line horizontally stretching the defense, they do it in a way where you have to defend wider than the width of the box or they'll get a cutback. Bayern weren't doing that in the first half, which is what was so scary and so dangerous for them, because they create all that threat. They deal so much damage, but it turns into almost nothing. If you look at the expected goals, they only had about 0.2. So if you're only going to get about 0.2, 0.3 expected goals from such a dangerous situation, then maybe it's not as dangerous as you really say. That's just really my thought. Darnish here is connecting back. If he has any final thoughts, we'll let him close out. Here he loads in. I guess he disconnected again, or here we go. Apologies, everyone, for the lag. We've had never had technical difficulties on this platform before, but it's going on now. Darnish, if you can hear, you got any final closing thoughts? I know it's lagging a lot. Any closing thoughts? You said you think it's going to extra time. Any closing predictions?
I'm back in now. Sorry, I don't know what's going on today. It's raining like crazy here. Maybe it's maybe it has something to do with it. Final thoughts. I'm just looking forward to a really good semi-final second. I think the problems that they had in the first leg won't matter as much because they'll have more of the ball. Sounds simplistic, but I don't think that they'll have the same time on the ball because you decide to press them.
Well, Darnish is frozen up there. So, in closing out, it'll be interesting to see what Ancelotti does to control Tuchel. What does Tuchel do to get more width in the offense? Does he get Davies coming into the lineup, Mazraoui in midfield maybe? Does he get Goretzka overlapping on the left? I don't even know. Goretzka overlapping through the middle, Musiala staying wide maybe. Either way, it'll be interesting to see what we do to control Bayern's wingers. Tuchel's Bayern like playing outside to in. And then for as far as Bayern go, how do they replace Guerrero? Then for Real Madrid's end, how healthy is Bellingham? How early do we bring on Brahim if Bellingham's not 100% healthy? I'm assuming we start Nacho with Tchouaméni at DM with Camavinga off the bench again. how do we change the way Cruz and Valverde mark, whether it's wingers or Conrad Lehmer? Do we stick Bellingham on Lehmer? Those are going to be interesting things. I expect Lehmer to get more tightly man-marked. I expect Cruz to be targeted once again. It's not going to be an easy game. Tuchel has targeted Cruz in the past. He's targeted his positioning, targeted the space around him. And, you know, if Ferland needs to follow Leroy again, can Leroy deal more damage? How does Musiala fare against Carvajal instead of Vasquez? These are the things to look out for. In any tie like this, both coaches are going to figure out how to control 80 to 90% of these things. It's going to be the 5 to 10% of these things, or maybe even 20%, that end up deciding the whole tie. And it's small details, small moments, maybe where Musiala ends up one-on-one against Carvajal and it comes down to the duel, where Vinicius drags out Kim and it comes down to whether he can win the foot race covering back. Those are the small details it comes down to. Individual duels, individual players hitting long shots, winning 1v1 dribbles, beating their man to the far post, these small things. And then from there, the tactics come in once you're down 1-0, making a shift, catching the other team off guard. Once you're up or down, you can really see how far your tactics have come. If you're down, if you're in the game, you'll be able to fight back and put some pressure. If your tactics are bad, you'll struggle and you'll have to change, maybe change personnel. If you're up and you go up 1-0, it becomes really obvious if you had a good moment of magic or if you actually have the opposition's number. What I expect are a lot of adjustments at the 1-0 down, 1-0 up phases, the 1-1, things that keep bringing each team back into the tie, which is where I'm not sure if it's going to end at 2-2 or if it's going to end at 1-1 or if one team can actually win it in regular time. That's why I'm hedging my bets on the side of extra time, if not penalties. I think a 2-goal lead is going to be needed to definitively win it in regular time, 2-0. Like, or we have to get a late winner in the last 15, 20 minutes. If it's if we're up 2-1 with half an hour left, if we get a lead 2-0 at halftime, it's not really over until the last minutes because 45 minutes, 30 minutes, that's a long time to make a tactical change. I think 30 minutes is good to defend a 2-goal lead. 45 minutes is good to defend, 20 to 15 is fine for a 1-goal lead. If you have to defend a lead for a long period of time, Tuchel makes a change that puts pressure on Real. It's not going to be easy to sit back and survive like the Etihad. That's just the feeling I get. Surviving when you're going to penalties is one thing, but when Bayern know they're going out, the desperation that gets teams at the end of these ties is usually crazy. Champions League semifinals are usually some of the most tactically intriguing games. That's another reason I'm hedging it on being even. Some of the best, most even back-and-forth games we've ever seen in the history of the sport, they tend to happen in the semifinals going back a decade. The semifinals are usually more interesting than the final two, which is why you don't want to get too ahead of predicting it because it's usually two very good teams that can go back and forth, that can always win. Bayern come in with a solid 40-45% chance of winning. Don't be surprised if Real Madrid are on the ropes at points. If I was being very optimistic against Man City, I would just be equally cautious against Tuchel's Bayern. If there's a team that's capable of breaking the curse, I really do think it's them. So keep that in mind. And, well, I'm going to wrap it up here, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, all your viewers, for listening. My final prediction would be that Real win 2-1. Or if it goes to extra time or penalties, I'm afraid that Bayern could even win. It's really a coin toss on penalties. So I'm going to say Real win in regular time or we get a coin toss on penalties where anyone can win. I'm not predicting the penalty winner. I think when we're at home, there's a little pressure that comes from being at home that neutralizes any advantage we have from the fans in the shootout. As we saw at the Etihad, that extra pressure from being at home, it doesn't necessarily help, especially. It's sort of like how in El Clásico, the home team doesn't do too well. It's almost more pressure to win. It almost gives you the jitters when you're doing these high-pressure situations, playing in them at home. That's it, everyone. Thanks for tuning in for this episode. Look out for the tactics. Look out for the way Tuchel looks to open up space. And look out for Real to be a little conservative, like trying to press, but staying conservative. If Bayern are narrow, we're going to be allow them to come a little more into our half. If Bayern are playing wide, look for us to take it more seriously like Man City. That's all.
Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.